Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Dignity Memorial. When your celebration of life is prepaid today, your family is protected tomorrow. Planning ahead is truly one of the best gifts you can give your family. For additional information, visit dignitymemorial.com.
Coming up, love letters, lost notebooks, turning red director Domi Shi, and cheese in all the wrong places. I'm Emma Choi, and this is Everyone and Their Mom.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emma Choi. Welcome to Everyone and Their Mom, a weekly show from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This week, we're discussing the mysterious return of some long-lost notebooks with comedian, Wait, Wait panelist, and someone who I associate strongly with grilled cheese and tomato soup. It's Emmy Blotnick. Hi, Emmy.
Oh my God, hi. I feel incredibly seen by that intro.
I thought you would. Emmy, I'm so excited to talk about this news. Someone anonymously returned two of Charles Darwin's actual notebooks to the Cambridge University Library after they frantically searched for them for 20 years. Did you see this?
No one told me about the notebooks. I was also looking for them.
Oh, no. Where were you looking for the notebooks?
I thought maybe they would be with my notebooks, but why would that be, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about what really happened. On a dark and stormy night in 2001, two of Charles Darwin's notebooks were stolen from Cambridge University's library. And just a reminder, Charles Darwin is that evolution nerd. The library looked through their collection of 10 million books for almost 20 years, trying to find them before they finally reported them stolen. They should have just let my mom look around in there. She would have found them in like 5 minutes, but whatever.
Charles, I didn't know you had a girlfriend.
They know. Yeah, and no one knew where they were until, bam, 2 decades after they were stolen, they reappeared outside of a librarian's office. One of the notebooks had a note that said, quote, librarian, happy Easter.
They made it so cryptic and loaded, it could have just been enjoy the books, you know?
Of course not. The library's director described her relief as, quote, profound and almost impossible to adequately express, which makes sense because the notebooks actually contained really important content, like Darwin's famous sketch of the Tree of Life.
Okay, I'm going to sound very uninformed here. What is the Tree of Life a specific tree?
It's a sketch, apparently, that Darwin did that's really important. It's like a gray-haired lady who drives a Kia Sorento would have on it as a bumper sticker.
Yes.
Imagine looking through 10 million books for just two, you know? Like, I'm thinking about, like, the process of like, filing through 10 million books. And, like, there was a story a few years ago. There's, like, a librarian who found, like, a piece of cheese inside of a book because, like, people use anything as a bookmark.
Oh, that's incredible. A piece of cheese is such a cute bookmark.
I know, but it must have really stunk.
I'm going to be honest with you. When we're in the book drop, we try not to smell things. My name is Anna Holmes. I'm a library worker here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, we wanted to talk to you today because a few years ago, we fell in love with one of your tweets. And can you guess which tweet I'm talking about?
Yes. I had tweeted for patrons to please stop using cheese as a bookmark. And yes, this has happened more than once.
How many times have you found cheese in a book?
Me personally, twice.
Twice?
The reason that I had tweeted this was a friend had found an actual craft single inside a book. And so that was the third straw for me. I was just like, okay, no more cheese.
Can you tell us about the moment where you found the cheese?
The first cheese was a piece of kind of that squishy inside of foil wrapper. I'm not even sure what it's called, but it's that kind of fancy cheese you put out for a party.
Yeah.
I will say that I got a lot of replies to the tweet that had people chiming in with what they found. And one that I found completely gross was an expired banana.
Oh, that's effortful. That's like a 3D object as a bookmark. We've been talking about this news coming from the library at Cambridge University. They spent 20 years looking through 10 million books, looking for these two missing notebooks from Charles Darwin. And all of a sudden, they were returned. Did you see that story?
I did not, but wow.
What do you think it would be like to go through that many books?
That sounds utterly normal.
Really? Can you take us into the mind of that librarian, like, the moment the books were returned after 2 decades of looking? You know, like, how do you think that felt?
That's vindication. Like, I knew it wasn't lost.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't here. I knew it. And probably just gratitude. They were probably just really grateful to have those books back.
Well, Anna, we just can't get over how many books librarians have to keep track of. So we want to play a game with you and test your knowledge on every book in the universe.
Oh, God.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. It's called Real Book or Fake Book, and we're going to tell you the title of a book, and you tell us if it's a real book or if it's a fake one we made up.
Okay.
First, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat and Other Clinical Tales. Real book, fake book?
That one's real.
Yes, it is. Have you read it?
I have not, but it's crossed my desk several times.
There we go. Next. How to Snuggle Your Iguana. Real book, fake book?
Let's go fake.
It is fake. Yeah.
Okay.
That's highly dangerous. Okay. Don't Pee on My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining. Real book or fake book?
That one's real.
Yes. You know who it's by?
I don't.
Judge Judy, baby. Of course. How You Can Ice Skate Better Using Self-Hypnosis. Real book or fake book?
That's hard. Let's go fake.
It is fake. You're doing amazing. Yes. How You Can Bowl Better Using Self-Hypnosis.
Let's go real.
Yes, exactly right. Which sounds, again, dangerous. Next. Knitting with Dog Hair. Better a sweater from a dog you know and love than from a sheep you'll never meet.
Unfortunately, that's real.
Yes. You've seen it?
I've seen it.
That's not a title you soon forget. Okay, last one. Charles Darwin's Notebooks. Real book or fake book?
Real.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you did so great. That's crazy. Bam, bam. There we go. Okay, well, Anna, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. This was so fun.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
I kind of wish that these were Darwin's, like, personal journals, like diaries.
I did assume that that's what they were. I was totally picturing, like, please return to Charlie Darwin if found, you know, like, I was picturing stickers, doodles, but I guess it's science journals.
Yeah.
Is this a good tree of life? Check Y or N.
I've been journaling since I was 6, and my early journals all had, like, stupid little quotes on them, like, be yourself, be real, you know?
Yeah, hockey is life, and the rest is just details. I destroyed all my journals from that age. I remember, like, when I think it was right around when I went off to college, just being like, nobody can ever find these, and, like, tearing them apart.
Yeah, you don't really want someone finding your diary 10 years later. You know, that reminds me of another story we talked about this week.
Yes.
So some people were walking on the beach and they found a message in a bottle from 1966. And they're from 2 teenage girls who are asking for boyfriends.
Wow. It is literally, it's like early Tinder.
I know, it's like 1960s Tinder because, like, in my experience, using Tinder to find a decent person to love has roughly the same odds as throwing a bottle into the ocean. And apparently they cast the bottles from the same beach that they were found, which means that the bottles only moved a couple of yards and yielded 0 results.
Oh my God. What are the odds that the ocean doesn't take your message in a bottle away?
Like, that's pretty good. I mean, I think this is such a beautiful love story, you know? It has all the elements. It has determination, desperation, yearning, longing, you know? But it's also pathetic in some ways, like every love story is.
it does feel very, that feels very romantic to cast a bottle out into the ocean and hope your husband shows up.
Yeah. I think for a lot of us, we almost like lobotomized that part of our memories because it was so awkward.
Just to start off, will you introduce yourself to us?
Hi, I'm Domi Shi, and I am the director of Turning Red.
Yes, you are. I loved Turning Red. And you're the first sole female director of a Pixar film. What's it like to be you, Domi?
Oh, I don't know.
I know.
it feels pretty awesome right now.
I mean, we have something in common. You started as an intern at Pixar, mm-hmm. and I just started actually at NPR as an intern, too. But you went from intern to director in 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, what happened there? Like, how'd you do that?
A lot of it was luck and timing, but also just the support of very awesome people at the studio, like Pete Docter. My first job at Pixar was a storyboard artist on his film Inside Out.
Right.
And, you know, even though at the time I was like one of a handful of women in the story department, I kind of in some way used that as a superpower on this show where there weren't a lot of women, but they needed a perspective and a point of view from somebody who had been a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that I knew I was an expert at. Like, coming into the industry completely green and not knowing anything, I was like, I at least know about the anxieties of growing up and being a girl overwhelmed with her emotions.
yeah, I mean, that's a great segue into Turning Red. Can you, for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, can you describe it for us?
Yeah, so Turning Red is a coming-of-age story about a 13-year-old girl named Maylin Lee, who thinks she has her life completely under control when one day, boom, magical puberty hits, and she uncontrollably poofs into a giant furry red panda anytime she gets overwhelmed with emotion. Happy, sad, angry, embarrassed, lusty. And the story is kind of just about how she deals with this in her beast and whether or not she wants to go down the path that her mom and her family chose, which was to get rid of it, or to keep it and embrace that inner wild side inside of her.
Well, okay, we've been talking about this news story this week where two teenage girls like 60 years ago wrote a message in a bottle asking for boyfriends, and someone just found it. Did you hear about that?
No, that's adorable.
I know, I love that. And it reminded us of Turning Red. What do you think this bottle story tells us about being a teenager?
Just makes me feel like, remember what it's like to be a teen, how you're just bursting with earnest emotion. I kind of miss that because these days, like, I mean, as an adult, it's hard to like care about a lot of things because you like become cynical. But then as a teen, you just like unafraid, you just kind of throw your emotions and your heart and pour your heart into things and just risk being heartbroken. I love that feeling.
Yeah. I mean, when you were 13, was there anything you did that was similar to that? Like, was there anything you, like, threw your whole body into loving?
Harry Potter, for sure. I was so obsessed. To the point where I would draw fan art. I drew a lot of fan art. And I entered this, like, fan club contest where it's like, draw Draco and Hermione's children and come up with biographies about them. And I was rendering Draco and Hermione's children for hours in my family's computer room. Not going outside. My mom's like, what are you doing?
That's such a funny origin story that, like, if you trace Turning Red all the way back, it goes to DeviantArt fan fiction.
Yep, it's definitely that.
That's so awesome. Can we ask you to think through something with us?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think this message in a bottle story has what it takes to be a feature Pixar film?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think it's a great setup. They maybe like get a response back years later and they have to but they're both like grown up and cynical adults, but they have to go back to being like teen girls and going on this adventure to find their like true love.
Yeah.
And it ends up being like a merperson or something like that. Or I don't know, like maybe they don't find the the dude or the person, but, you mm-hmm. know, they find each other and they realize, like, oh my gosh, like, all this time, like, you were my soulmate. I had to go on this journey to find the person that's right next to me Aww. This whole time.
I know that there's a joke about, like, every Pixar film needs to reveal one, like, universal human truth, like, ever since Inside Out. What do you think is the big, you know, universal truth from this bottle story?
That teen girls are horny.
True.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Domi. I'm gonna treasure this forever. So thanks so much for coming on our show.
Yeah, of course. It was so fun.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
I mean, what were you doing with your friends when you were 15? Were you also throwing lovesick messages out to sea? I don't think we ever did that specifically, but, like, do you remember we would play the game, like, MASH or like, the cootie catcher thing? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that whole game was, like, designing your fancy future, you know?
Me and my best friend Katie thought that we were, like, we lived in Northern Virginia, which is not a small town, but we're like, we got to get out of this town. And then we, like, drove to D.C. and got ice cream. And we're like, no one understands us. It was like everything at 15 matters so much all the time. And my brother's 16 right now. And, like, everything matters to him so much all the time. And it's exhausting.
Oh, is he writing messages in bottles? What's today's 15-year-old doing to make the moves?
You're not going to believe me, but it's TikToks. Like, he flirted with his last girlfriend by posting a TikTok of him making a song out of her name.
Wow.
Oh, it's really cute. Oh, we probably shouldn't air that. Nathan's going to get really mad at me if I say that on air. Spoiler alert, we really wanted to air that part, but I was too afraid to ask him because I thought he would get mad at me. So, our producer Jennifer bravely went to go ask him instead.
No, you're good. Sorry, someone just came into the room. Yeah.
Nathan, so you're Emma's brother. We've heard about you before.
Yeah.
And tell me where you are right now.
I'm in, like, I think it's a Spanish room somewhere in my school.
Yeah. Okay. What, and you're in high school?
Yeah, I'm in high school.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we got the whole Choi family in on this. Thank you so much for talking to me. I have learned recently that you are an incredible jazz pianist.
Oh, no, I'm an okay jazz pianist.
Okay. So, Nathan, I want to talk to you about something that happened with a jazz piano. And I'm talking to you to protect Emma in case you get mad. And you can tell me or you can decide not to tell me. Did you write a girl a song on TikTok on the piano?
Okay. Yeah. I saw this TikTok a while ago where a guy, like, assigned a different key, a different letter in the alphabet. And I just spelled out her name on the keyboard and then made a song out of that melody.
That's so beautiful. So every key had a letter.
So I started on middle C, and that was A, and going up chromatically each step, it was like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z, and then, like, afterwards, I just kind of, like, made harmonies and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Is that a TikTok thing? Like love letters on TikTok, or is that something that you
I haven't
did?
Seen it in a while. I saw it once before, but I haven't seen it come up since then.
Nathan, are you mad that Emma told us? And are you mad that I'm talking to you about it?
I didn't expect that was the direction you'd be taking it, but sure, yeah. I'm not mad at you.
Okay, well, I have another secret to tell you that she shared the video with me, and the song is incredible. It's beautiful, Nathan.
Wait, which, I made a couple for, like, one for my dog, too. Which one was her name?
I don't think it wasn't for your dog. The name was Ruby.
Oh, that was my dog.
That's for your dog?
Yeah, that's the second one I did.
I misunderstood. I thought it was for the girl.
Ruby's my dog, yeah.
Okay, well, you can write a love letter to your dog, too.
Yeah. Have you seen the video? like the actual one.
No, can I see it right now?
Yeah, sure. Do you have TikTok?
No.
Or I can probably try to, I can get it for you.
Did you text it to me?
It just delivered.
Okay. Okay, I'm watching it right now. Hold on. Nathan, this is beautiful. Oh my God. How can I ask, how did it go?
No. No, she liked it. She liked it. She liked the song.
Okay.
But she's like, nah, later on did not work out.
You know what, Nathan? She liked the song and I did too. I think that's a win.
Yeah, that's the victory in itself.
That's the victory for sure.
Emmy, thanks so much for hanging out with us. This was so fun.
It was such a pleasure. Hey, Emma, if you ever stole Charles Darwin's notebooks, I would not snitch on you.
Oh, thank you, Emmy. I would definitely snitch on you.
Oh.
And on that note, thanks for joining us, Emmy.
Thanks for having me.
And now the most romantic part of the podcast, the credits. This show was brought to you by Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. This episode was produced by Haley Fager, Zola Ray, Lillian King, Nancy Seychow, and Robert, the Nightmare Man. Our supervising producer is Jennifer Mills, and our Doug Berman is Mike Danforth. Once again, Lorna White, you're the best. We love you. Thank you for knowing how to make our sound amazing. Thanks to library worker, author, and disability rights activist Anna Holmes for reliving some of her worst library moments with us.
That was kind of a rough one.
Find them on Twitter at AnnaBookWriter. Thanks to TikTok pianist, high school sophomore, and my brother, Nathan Choi, for not hating me after I exposed his love life to the world.
That happened, like, a couple times.
I love you, Nathan. Thanks for hanging out with us, Domishi.
If I go clubbing, like, I need, like, a place where I can sit down.
We love your movies so much, and I want you to be the godmother to my future kids. Thank you to my co-host, comedian, Wait Wait panelist, and human personification of a sparkly yet tasteful jumpsuit, Emmy Blotnick.
Oh my God, what a roller coaster that was.
See Emmy in real life at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas from April 21st to 23rd. I'm Emma Choi, and you can find me at Wait Wait NPR. Oh, I didn't write a joke for this one. Okay, I'm done. This is NPR.
Sorry, our bell's here like uncomfortably long.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on Black experiences. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.